platform with so many fantastic speakers. And Davey, can I just say that I'd like to pay unite respect to Davey Guy as well, a man who epitomised the courage and bravery of our movement. You know, the gathering represents the finest traditions of our movement. The survival of this gala and its renaissance in recent years is testament to the spirit of the Durham coalfields. In the 1870s, when the miners marched into Durham for the first time, when they marched up to the cathedral and here to the racecourse, marching as proud pitmen and women and proud trade unionists, they had nothing except hope on their side. Hope for a better future for them and their families. They had no votes, no rights at work, no weekends, no holidays. Those miners were slaves to their masters, shackled and impoverished by the capitalist greed, arrested if they broke their employer's bonds, sacked if they joined a trade union, starved back to work if they took strike action. Those miners, your forefathers and mothers, were men and women of greatness. Their pits produced the nation's wealth, powered Britain through two world wars, and fought off the threat of fascism. And those miners fought for the rights of organised labour. The trade union family, values of solidarity, equality and social justice, were at the heart of the coal mining communities. They were self-reliant. Union committees ran community provisions, socialised medicine, healthcare, pensioner housing, funerals and burials, all before national politicians had even contemplated a welfare state. There was a working class consciousness, a belief in collectivism and solidarity. They, more than anybody, when they were attacked, the more they were attacked, the more they fought back. Those men and women of greatness had the faith to fight for social justice. That history, those achievements, that's what this gala means to me. Today, the capitalist class, the Tory elite, our lords and masters, they're still attacking us. They never have stopped attacking us. They tell us we must pay for their crisis, the crisis caused by corporate greed and casino capitalism. And what about their system? What has 30 years of neoliberalism done for us? 1 million of our kids without a job and without a hope. Our schools up for sale and soon to be run for profit. Our National Health Service, 65 years old and now being retired, cut up and sold off to Cameron's donors in the private healthcare. The unemployed told to work for nothing or lose their benefits. The poorest public servants told to pay more and work longer for their modest pensions. Families losing their homes for the sake of a spare room. And the unemployed, people who've paid their taxes and national insurance, denied their benefits. Of course, if you're a city banker, a hedge fund manager, a billionaire businessman or a venture capitalist, well, things aren't so bad. This government cuts their taxes and gives them millions, and all the better if, like most of them, they don't pay their taxes. The rules are quite simple in David Cameron's Britain. If you come from privilege, if you have money, we'll look after you. And if you don't, you're on your own. Just look at an elite which scraps the independent pay review body, the Agricultural Wages Board, which helped protect some of the poorest rural workers for 100 years, and then sets up an independent pay review body to give MPs a 12% pay rise. And these hypocrites wonder why they are hated. Well, I won't accept their hypocrisy. When they tell us there's no money to invest in our communities, to build homes, to protect our NHS and revitalise our manufacturing industries, to give hope to our kids, I say, what about the tax avoiders? The £40 billion a year lost to the Treasury, we're told, by independent fiscal bodies every year. It is the scandal of our lifetime. So my message is a simple one. My message is a simple one. But let me say it loudly. To the ruling elite, to the corporate giants, to the super rich, pay your taxes, you greedy bastards! You know, comrades, Peter Mandelson may be extremely relaxed about the filthy rich, but since when has he represented the views of ordinary, decent men and women? This greed stems from the obscenity of capitalism, but rather than left-wing rhetoric. Let me just illustrate this by bringing to your attention a report issued by Oxfam earlier in the year, the contents of which are staggering. They tell us that the earnings last year of the top 200 billionaires, not their wealth, the earnings last year of the top 200 billionaires would eradicate extreme world poverty. Just think about that. The scenes we see on our television of those poor young kids starving to death, of adults trying to hold on to their dignity and failing, of third world countries spiralling downward because of the debt of poverty. All of that could be eradicated with the earnings of 200 billionaires. And they tell us that a better world is not possible. Nonsense. Of course a better world is possible. The truth is, this coalition government and the vast majority of the political class don't understand our values, but as Owen Jones said, they do understand all too well the politics of divide and rule, public sector against private sector, those in work against those who can't find work, the hard-working family against the so-called feckless poor. That's why we have to stand united. United against the cuts and against austerity, as we were at the Great People's Assembly in London last month. That's the sort of unity that can terrify the Tories and the ruling elite. 4,000 people saying no more, no more. Like the generations of miners that made this country great, we must stand up for the civilization our fathers and mothers fought for. David Cameron knows the only challenge to his failed austerity agenda is organised labour. That's why they attack our right to strike. They tell us our health and safety laws are simply red tape. They tell us our rights at work are a drag on the economy. We're already the worst trade union laws in Europe. Denied laws that German, Italian and Spanish and French workers take for granted. So I make no apology for saying that my political priority is not just stopping new anti-union laws coming in. It's about kicking out the anti-union laws we already have. And comrades, sisters and brothers, let me say this. This is not a narrow sectional demand. Our whole society pays the price for weak trade unions. And everyone gains when unions are strong. Powerful unions means less inequality. They mean stronger, more secure communities. Dignity and strength at work means less crime and social problems in the wider society. But they recognise, our enemies, that we are the main force standing for a better society. The only force able to offer real practical resistance to the government's onslaught on our services and our rights. And every Labour politician should understand that and celebrate it. Unions have always been a force for good in our society. From the abolition of child labour, the struggle for women's suffrage, the fight against fascism, the creation of the welfare state and the National Health Service, the introduction of health and safety legislation and equal pay legislation, right up to the family-friendly policies of today, including the minimum wage. Trade unions have always been on the side of the angels, and we should be proud of that. So, sisters and brothers, let me touch on the relationship between the trade unions and the Labour Party. You may have noticed that there's been a very public dispute played out across the media. Well, let me read you this quote. The trade unions founded the Labour Party. Our party is stronger because of the 3 million nurses, engineers, shop workers, and all of the trade union levy payers who are part of our movements. Who said that? Well, it was Ed Miliband speaking here at this very spot last year. And Ed was right. We're not a lobbyist group. We are founding members and an integral part of our party. But this is an important point for me to make, and perhaps this is what the journalists have come for. I want to make it clear. The Labour Party must understand that it has no God-given right to exist. It can only exist if it remains the voice of ordinary people and of organised labour. Let me say, sisters and brothers, we've got some fantastic MPs, good comrades, people who are here today, who battle and do a fantastic job in very, very difficult circumstances. I've had the privilege recently of speaking to the leaders of our trade union MPs, Ian Lavery, Jim Sheridan, Davey Anderson, so that we can work together, and we should never forget the role that they play on our behalf. However, and they'll agree with this, the Parliamentary Labour Party today does not look like, think like, the broader party or the working class communities it seeks to represent. That's a serious problem. Instead, from general election to general election, it is increasingly the preserve of an out-of-touch elite, Oxford-educated special advisers, people who glide from university to think tank to the green benches, without ever sniffing the air of the real world. I generalise, of course, because there are good people who travel that route, but the balance is way out of kilter. That's what Unite was fighting for, and please let me use the F word here, in Falkirk and other constituencies, giving the working class a stake in our democracy. And I make no apology for that to anybody. Independent inquiry. Let the police chase rapists and murderers, and let publicly us air the truth. And can I also take this opportunity to say a word to those inside the Labour Party as well as outside of it, those who believe in smear campaigns, the mudrakers, who believe that by attacking us in this way, somehow we will back off from where we come from. You know, they must live in a different world to me, because I'm going to tell them where I come from. I come from the Durham coalfields. I come from the valleys of the Rhondda. I come from the foundries of the Midlands and the shipyards of Glasgow. And yes, I come from the docklands of Liverpool. And we're made of steel and stuff. And if they believe that we're going to bow our knee in order to paddle back on our principles, they've got a long, long wait. Ed Miliband has now announced the biggest ever shake-up in the trade union Labour link, a link that's lasted over 100 years. Yes, it's a gamble. Any change worth having always is. And let me say this, I'm ready for reform. I'm ready to engage with the Labour Party to find a way to re-engage hundreds of thousands of trade union members with the party that their forefathers and foremothers created. I want a vibrant, stronger, more democratic Labour Party. That'll be a good thing. I'm ready for reform, and I'll tell you for why, because the status quo is no longer an option. It hasn't delivered for those of us represented here today. The block vote has not got us socialism. It did not stop us having a new Labour government which pampered the rich and waged illegal wars whilst it left place in place the most restrictive trade union laws in Western Europe. That's why I'm ready for reform. I'm a supporter of Ed Miliband. He's best when he's boldest, when he boldly challenges the media tycoons like Rupert Murdoch, when he challenges the corporate giants not paying their fair taxes, when he challenges privilege, inequality and poverty. So let me say this about the new proposals. If we are to go out and convince thousands of working class men and women that they want to sign up to the Associate Labour Party membership, those workers will not be interested in the rule book or even our history. They will want to know, will Labour make a difference? Will the next Labour government reverse the present coalition's disastrous policy? Will it be different, not just from the cap from Cameron and his crew, but from the Blair Brown years as well? Sisters and brothers, if we can say yes, Labour has learned and Labour is on your side, then this scheme will work. But if our people, our members are unclear as to the answer, then no amount of persuading will get them to sign up. So I say this to Ed. The people here today are the people you should seek to represent. And the future is in your hands. My challenge to you is, make Labour the party we all want. The party of equality, justice, fairness. And yes, the party of socialism. Then nothing can stop us. Because it will mean that the values that we all share here today, the values of the Durham Coalfields, are back where they belong, at the heart of our movement and our party. Keep the belief, comrades.